This week, one word has caused an avalanche of hysteria in Israel and in pockets of Washington, D.C. I think you all know the word. It's the A word. No, not the not that A word, not the FCC naughty word, but it's the word apartheid. Up until now, Israel, with the support of its Western allies, most notably, of course, the United States, has been able to deflect the apartheid tag. I think it'll be a beautiful day when a president of the United States, while in power, speaks openly about the truth. What is obvious, that Israel is an apartheid state. Do you remember the blowback that Jimmy Carter got when he wrote his book, Peace, Not Apartheid? Quoting Jimmy in 2006, when Israel does occupy this territory deep within the West Bank and connects the 200 or so settlements with each other with a road and then prohibits the Palestinians from using that road or in many cases even crossing the road, this perpetrates even worse instances of apartness. It perpetrates an apartheid. It's even worse than what we witnessed even in South Africa, unquote. The late Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, quote, I know firsthand that Israel has created an apartheid reality within its borders and through its occupation. The parallels to my own beloved South Africa are painfully stark indeed. Last year, Human Rights Watch and Israel's human rights NGO, B'Tselem, issued extensive reports that detailed why Israel is an apartheid state. But this week, the latest human rights organization to join the growing consensus caused more freakout than usual. Amnesty issued a 280-page report. It took 4 years to research, finally publish it. It's called Israel's Apartheid Against Palestinians, Cruel System of Domination, and Crime Against Humanity. It is linked at the Tangents playlist. Just go to tangents.com, and on the left-hand side, you'll see a link for the Tangents playlist. And I created a whole section around the Amnesty International report, and then below it, other stories about the report itself from other media outlets. But what is so different about this report that it's caused so much backlash in Israel and in D.C.? For starters, Amnesty International claims to be the largest human rights organization in the world, and that is a big deal. What separates Amnesty from Human Rights Watch, B'Tselem, and many other human rights NGOs is it also is a campaigning organization. It doesn't just issue a report. It launches a global campaign. In essence, mobilizing a grassroots movement, in this case, to end Israeli apartheid. And Amnesty has gone the whole nine yards to try to get you informed. It's inviting you to enroll in Apartheid 101. It has created a free 90-minute course called Destructing Israel's Apartheid Against Palestinians, and quoting Amnesty, to learn more about the crime of apartheid in international law, what apartheid looks like in Israel and the occupied territories, and how it affects Palestinian lives. Sign up to our course on Amnesty International's Human Rights Education Academy, unquote. And there's a link to it. And again, many other links having to do with this report in the Gaza Corner section of the Tangents playlist, such as sections There's a Q&A, there's a take action, there are policy recommendations to end the abuses. And these are tailored for both the Israeli government and other recommendations for the U.S. government. They have a 14-minute YouTube video. It's called Israel's Apartheid Against Palestinians, Cruel System of Domination and Crime Against Humanity. I imagine the very first lesson would be, what is apartheid? So I will say that one, because that is the essence of the whole report. Quoting Amnesty International, apartheid is a violation of public international law, a grave human rights violation, and a crime against humanity. It constitutes both a system formed of laws, policies, and practices, and a crime, specific acts. The term apartheid was originally used to refer to a political system in South Africa which explicitly enforced racial segregation and the domination and oppression of one racial group by another. It has since been adopted by the international community to condemn and criminalize such systems and practices wherever they occur in the world. Inhumane acts include unlawful killing and serious injury, torture, forcible transfer, persecution, and the denial of basic rights and freedoms, unquote. Now, I think what worries the Israeli government is that this report is not only from the largest human rights organization in the world, but Amnesty is a mainstream global NGO, about as mainstream as there is. And Israel will do everything it can to prevent the political mainstream from viewing it as a pariah state. But ironically, all the pushback at this report in Israel is giving far more attention to it than it would otherwise have received. Israel's a super military power, but in this context, it is, I think, powerless to change the swelling of world opinion that's coming together. Maybe not among government leaders yet, but among people. Israel has one weapon, really one weapon, left in its toolbox, and that is using the anti-Semite card. It's a rhetorical tactic. It has a long history. But it's so tired. It's so tired that it's lost its juice to manipulate minds. It's gotten to the point that anyone or any organization or any government that criticizes Israel's systemic oppression and displacement of Palestinians is an anti-Semite, or in my case, a self-hating Jew. Israel does not represent the Jewish people. Anti-Israel is not anti-Semitic. Amnesty reacted to accusations of anti-Semitism with this statement, quote, Amnesty's research, campaigns, advocacy, and statements pertaining to Israel are focused on the actions of the Israeli government. They are not and never will be a condemnation of Judaism or the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism is antithetical to everything Amnesty represents as a human rights organization, unquote. I'm not going to take the time to quote from the U.S. congressional representatives who excoriated this Amnesty report, but you can check it out. I mean, it's one of the articles at the Gaza Corner section. It's called U.S. Lawmakers Attack Amnesty International's Report on Israeli apartheid. But I will quote Israeli Foreign Minister Yair Lapid, who Haaretz, is Gideon Levy, refers to as Israel's propaganda minister. Lapid will replace Naftali Bennett as the next prime minister, by the way, in their rotating power share agreement. He said, the report, quote, echoes propaganda and the same lies shared by terrorist organizations. He's referring to the six prominent Palestinian NGOs recently declared illegal as terrorist groups by Israel without providing proof of its claims. Lapid went on to say, quote, Israel is not perfect, but it is a democracy committed to international law and open to scrutiny with a free press and a strong Supreme Court, unquote. Committed to international law and open to scrutiny. I mean, I have a problem with it being called a democracy. I think the press is fairly fair. The Supreme Court is a joke. But being committed to international law, that's ridiculous. Open to scrutiny could not be further from the truth. Israel proudly and openly defies international law and routinely prevents international human rights investigators from entering Israel. In 2019, it expelled the Israel and Palestine director of Human Rights Watch, Omar Shakir, for just doing his job documenting Israel's human rights abuses against Palestinians. Also, Israel is not cooperating with the investigation by the International Criminal Court into possible war crimes in the occupied territories. I read through a lot of the attacks of the Amnesty report, and I found not one person, not one organization actually refuting the facts that were exhaustively researched and presented by Amnesty International. And kudos to AP reporter Mike Lee. Mike Lee had a spirited back and forth with U.S. State Department spokesman Ned Price. Price told reporters, quote, we reject the view that Israel's actions constitute apartheid. We think that it is important, as the world's only Jewish state, that the Jewish people must not be denied their right to self-determination, and we must ensure there isn't a double standard being applied, unquote. Now, he's got a lot of chutzpah because it's the U.S. that's providing the double standard. I mean, it's hypocritical for the U.S. to frequently hold up Amnesty reports as the source to show that countries that we don't agree with are bad countries, except when it comes to Israel. Quoting the AP's Mike Lee at that very press conference confronting Ned Price, quote, the State Department's last human rights report cited Amnesty International on Ethiopia and Cuba and China and Burma on Syria, and those references are endorsements of this group, Amnesty, and other groups as well. He's referring to the department's annual country reports on human rights practices. And Mike Lee continued, quote, why is it that all criticism of Israel from these groups is almost always rejected by the United States and yet accepted, welcomed, and endorsed when the criticism is of other countries, notably countries with which you have significant policy differences, he asked. And all Ned Price of the State Department could say was, quote, this is about our vehement disagreement with a certain finding in a report by an outside group, unquote. But at no time did Ned Price mention what in the report was factually incorrect. Political commentator and Jewish Currents editor-at-large Peter Beinart applauded Lee's line of questioning. This is a tweet of Peter's. Quote, so important to recognize that the United States and American Jewish establishment can't have it both ways. You can't savage Amnesty International's and Human Rights Watch's work on Israel-Palestine without undermining their work everywhere else, unquote. And there's another development that could be coming soon which Israel fears. And it's reported in an article, again, in that Gaza Corner section at the Tangents playlist at tangents.com. It's an article in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. The title is Israeli Officials Fear UN Will Adopt Apartheid Narrative This Year. It says, quote, unnamed senior Israeli officials are concerned that the UN may soon accept the narrative that Israel is an apartheid state, issuing a serious blow to Israel's status on the international stage, unquote. A UN consensus around Israeli apartheid could, quote, lead to Israel's exclusion from various international events, including sports competitions or cultural events, unquote. My favorite Israeli columnist, he writes for Haaretz, is Gidon Levy, and he wrote in a February 3rd column, again linked at the playlist, it's titled, Tell Me What's Untrue in Amnesty's Report on Israel. Quoting Levy, Amnesty are anti-Semites. The report is full of lies. The methodology is absurd. One must ask, what precisely is incorrect in the apartheid report? Was Israel not founded on an explicit policy of maintaining Jewish demographic hegemony while reducing the number of Palestinians within its boundaries? Does this policy not exist to this day? Does Israel not maintain a regime of oppression and control of Palestinians in Israel and in the occupied territories for the benefit of Israeli Jews? Do the rules of engagement with Palestinians not reflect a policy of shoot to kill, or at least maim? Are the evictions of Palestinians from their homes and the denial of construction permits not part of Israeli policy? Is Sheikh Jarrah not apartheid? Sheikh Jarrah is that neighborhood in East Jerusalem having homes demolished and Palestinians being ethnically cleansed. Gidon Levy goes on to ask, is the nation-state law not apartheid? And to remind you, this is me speaking, the nation-state law, which was enshrined in law in 2018, it enshrines Jewish supremacy over Palestinian citizens. The law has distinct apartheid characteristics and requires, really, it requires racist acts as a constitutional value, the nation-state law. Gidon goes on to say, quote, please prove Amnesty wrong, that there aren't two systems of justice in the territories, two sets of rights, and two formulas for the distribution of resources. Gidon Levy concludes, what is written in the report does not stem from anti-Semitism, but will strengthen it. Israel is the greatest motivator of anti-Semitic urges in the world today, unquote. To Amnesty's credit in the report, it debunks Israel's foundational mythology, acknowledging that Israel was racist from the very beginning when it was created in 1948. But it does fall short. The Amnesty report does not explain, which I think is really important, the objective of Zionism. Zionism was not designed to dominate over Palestinians and to rule over them. But it was designed to remove them from the land altogether. The Zionist leaders, Ben-Gurion, way back when, this was the design. It wasn't my parents' understanding of Zionism and a whole lot of people's understanding. It was just a home for the Jews. But now it's much more open. A lot of the extreme Zionists, the real right-wingers, are very open about wanting to have all of what they call the biblical homeland of the Jews for themselves. Ali Abu Nima, who's the editor of the Electronic Intifada, a very good news portal from a Palestinian perspective, he said, quote, the goal is to take the land and get rid of the people. So ultimately, we have to understand that settler colonialism is genocidal, unquote. And Maureen Murphy, in an article linked at the playlist from the Electronic Intifada, says, Amnesty repeatedly stresses Israel's, quote, intent to maintain this system of oppression and domination without making the explicit point that apartheid is a means toward the end of settler colonization, removing Palestinians from the land so that they may be replaced with foreign settlers. And I'll leave you with this question. It's from the Adala Justice Project, which is an advocacy group based in the United States. Quote, is it possible to end apartheid without ending the Zionist settler colonial project?